victory. Right now, we're finishing up the series today called Hallmark Moments. You might be wondering, how do we come up with our series? How do we come up with what we do here? Well, we do it through just talking. I talk a lot with my wife. I have breakfast every morning with my wife, and that's where most of our ideas come from and where we're headed. And then I'm fortunate to have Roger Johnson down here and the technical gifts and skills that God's given him, and also Alex Christie. And quite frankly, I talk to other people. Mike Rankin and I were chatting today, and he had a pretty great idea. And so different things. So you never know. I'm not saying we always use your ideas about sermons and things like that in sermon series, but we always do a sermon series on the family from Mother's Day to Father's Day. So we started with Mama Moments, and we're ending today with what? Daddy Moments, all right? And we always look at the family from Mother's Day to Father's Day because we always need help with our family. So today, the message, say it with me, come on and help me now, Daddy Moments, Daddy Moments. And by the way, today, a lot of times you go to church on Father's Day, and Lord knows I've done it before. When your fathers, when you men have come, boy, I've hammered you. Amen? But you know what? That's not what this series has been about at all. It's been about the word Hallmark. Go ahead and we'll move along with this series a little bit this morning, this message. The word Hallmark, it didn't start with a card company. It started in the 1400s with the folks in London. They were called Hallmarkers. They would mark gold. All right, they would put a stamp on gold to see if it was excellent. And it said it meant it was quality and valued. And it meant it was 99.999% fine. And so the idea of this series is, and the message today is, how can I Hallmark Daddy? Amen? How can I Hallmark Daddy? How can I let Dad know that he is quality? How can I let Dad know that he's awesome? How can I let Dad know, man, you're excellent? You know, other folks might not like your dad, but guess what? I do. I think you're with the program. How can we do that for our dads? We need help with fathers today. Just come grab something over here. And I normally don't do this. Let's see if I can find it. I found it. There we go. Now let's just see if I can see it. Amen? 43% of U.S. children live without a father in America. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 90%. Over 70% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. Over 60% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders come from, you guessed it, fatherless homes. And I scratched this one out, but I think I'm going to tell it anyway. Here it is. 90% of adolescent repeat arsonists live without a father. Now, let me tell you why I want to tell that one, all right? Because when my son Mitch was about, I'm going to guess, 8 years old, we're out in the country. We had a little country house out towards Fort Ogden. And Mitch and Elise are in their little bedroom. Now, we're talking this place is like 100 years old. I mean, you could just lay a match on the floor and the place would have burnt down. You know what I'm talking about? And there was an old rug in that room that was made out of wool. It would have gone up like that. So I come in somewhere from the yard of the house, and there's Mitch, the one who sang today, with matches, with a fire in the house. Did you notice that stat? 90% of repeat arsonists. I beat his tail. Oh, I know that's terrible. You ain't supposed to spank your children. With a Clark house, we did it. Amen? It's amazing. You didn't have to spank them a whole lot. But brother, I tell you what, I wanted that one to make sure it took. Amen? So, Dad, you do make a difference, brother. Amen? Come on. I even spanked Elise, even though she wasn't the culprit, but she was in on it. Amen? She was in on it. A couple other figures. Over 70% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institution have no father. 85% of youths in prison grew up in a fatherless home. Fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of high school, twice as likely to end up in jail, four times more likely to need help for emotional or behavioral problems. You know what? I guess Daddy matters, doesn't he? Say. You see TV? Dad's made the butt of the joke. He's the idiot so many times. Dad, you matter today. Can you say that with me? Dad, you matter. Help me, come on. Dad, you matter. And that's what we want to do today. We want to hallmark Dad. Now, this isn't just let's pump Dad up and put Dad on a pedestal day. Okay, that's not what we're doing. We're going to try to get somewhere and go get some help today. And I know all of you didn't have a good father. I understand that. Some of you came from an abusive situation, and I'm sorry for that. Some of you didn't have a father at all. Okay, I had a father. Divorced my mother when I was 11. He was a factory mill worker. He worked as an oiler and a sweeper for Kloppman, K-L-O-P-M-A-N, fabrics. The little fabric mill. That was my dad. He'd come home and sleep when he wasn't working. He'd work many times, 16 hours. And then he'd drink while he's awake. I mean, so we just didn't get to see him a lot. Never came to my ball games. And I love sports. Growing up. Love them now, still, this day. But I do remember one game my dad did come to, and I hit a home run that game. Biggest day of my life. My daddy was there. He was older now, but I can still, just like it was yesterday, that memory floods back into my mind. So I know every situation hadn't been the best situation, but here we are today on planet Earth on this day, and let's go forward. Amen? Let's see what we can do, and you're listening to our voice today. We want to try to be a blessing, whether on radio or television. The message today, Daddy Moments. Let's move it, Raj, and see what we got going. We're going to fly right now. The Bible says, say that verse with me, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So the Bible says we're to honor our father and mother. This verse really grabbed me this week in my office. Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon. Say that part with me. A wise son maketh a what? A glad father. Can we say that again? Come on. A wise son makes a, one more time, a wise son. You're learning the Bible. A wise son makes a glad father. And I took my pen out this week and I just started writing down some journal thoughts. And here they are. Here's what I wrote. Not that they make a whole lot of sense to you, but this is what I wrote. I wrote, I get more encouragement out of seeing my children doing right than anything else they could ever give me. Isn't that crazy? You'd think, man, I'd want a boat or a car or a fishing pole, but guess what? I got all that already. I just get so much satisfaction. I'm seeing my children doing right. And I don't expect some of you young parents yet to even understand maybe where I'm at right now in this point in my life. But I got to think God feels the same way. When you do right and I do right, I got to think God's going, that's good right there. So I'm just writing. But the opposite's true too. When they willfully do wrong, it hurts and discourages me. I don't feel like I'm doing a good job as their dad. And I'm not saying that's always the way you ought to think. I don't want you to go out of here feeling totally guilty and feeling like a dog as a parent. But that's just how I felt this week. When they're not doing right, it hurts me, man. It makes me feel like I'm not doing good. When someone says my kid is just like me, and if they said it for a good reason, that makes me so happy. Amen? Boy, that makes me happy. People say about Elise. They tell her, man, you're just like your dad. Elise is a talker. Elise smiles. Elise is an encourager. She talks to people. Mrs. Teal, are you here? Right there. Evelyn. She told me the other night, Elise. She said you came up behind her and put your arm around and hugged her. And she said that did so much for her. Amen. You might wonder why we hug at this church. Because I like to. Amen? And because Miss Edna likes to. Where is Miss Edna? You somewhere? She was. But anyway, that's why we hug here. You know what? Because people need a hug. How many got a hug today coming in this place? Praise God. Didn't hurt you, did it? Say. Probably made some of you feel loved. So Elise is a lot like that. And people have said over the years, Mitchell, they've come up to Mitchell and say, boy, you just like your dad. Or they'll say to me, you know, your son's just like you. He sings just like you do. That's a compliment, man. I love hearing stuff like that. I wrote this down. I don't need a gift from my children on Father's Day. I prefer a hug or a card with an encouraging word. I don't need anything. I've got everything I need. I can't ever get enough hugs from my young'uns. Amen? I can't ever get enough, "I love you, Daddy." Love you, Dad. Boy, I can't get enough of that. Woo! Some other thoughts I wrote. I'm happy when my children are happy. I love to see my children smile and laugh. Sometimes I look across the room and they don't even know I'm looking at them, and I'll see their teeth. Or I'll hear that laugh, that crazy laugh, and it just makes me happy. Parents, are y'all hearing me today? Y'all relating with me, aren't you? Now, kids, you might think that, what? Our parents are crazy. I can't explain it. It's a God thing. It comes from God. I can't explain why I get happy like that over my young'uns. Just happens. When they say this, and they say, "Thanks, Dad," it's huge to me. Wow. And when I didn't have to go, "Now, what do you say now?" Isn't that a good feeling, say, parents? Oh, that's huge. Some more daddy thoughts. This was the last thing I wrote down. And it means more than anything. Respect and honor from my children mean more to me than anything. You know what? I'd appreciate your respect and honor to me. But if all that went out the window, and I had respect and honor from my children and from my wife, I think Clark would be fine. Are you hearing me today? Say, respect and honor from my kids. Huge. Now, you might wonder, well, where's this message going? Well, I'm glad you asked. Come on and follow. Let's go. So how do you hallmark dad? How do you do it? Let's talk about it. There it is. Say that with me. Respect and, say it again. Respect and, that's how you hallmark your dad. By the way, that's how you hallmark God as well. We're going to be on a two-way track today. You might, when I'm talking about dads today, as we get into it in just a minute here, you might be thinking, "Well, I don't have a dad," or "My dad was mean to me," or "My dad was this," or "I understand how you feel." I don't totally understand, but I can understand why you feel that way. But I want you to realize there's this other track we're on, and that is how I can respect and honor God, my Father. Y'all listening? Got it? So I believe this is going to help us today. So it's all about respect and honor. And our message today, what does respect mean? Pop it up, Raj. It means to esteem, to hold in honor, to be considerate of, to defer to give regard to. That's what respect means. What's the word honor mean? It means to have high respect for, to confer distinction on, to have a good reputation, to praise. That's what those two things mean. I thought a third word meant honor and respect, but it's different. As I studied it more, Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, what? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So we looked at the word obeying. Obeying is respectful and honoring, but obeying is different, guys. Listen to me. Obeying is different. What do I mean? Obey means to do as you're told. Obey means to perform as you're told. Obey means to perform the orders of. But look at the two compared now. Obeying seems to mean, say it with me, do it because you. Respect and honor means, say that part with me, do it because you. I guess that's where I'm at in my life now. Now, Lisa's a senior. Mitch is going into his third year at college. I don't get to see Mitch as much anymore. And now the kids are growing up. And when they were little, it was do this and do that, and you're supposed to do it this way. But now I'm getting to that place in my life to where, I'm not saying do this or do that anymore, and I'm getting a chance to see them make their own decisions. Boy, that's a rough spot to be as a parent, ain't it, guys? Say, there's a couple of you there with me. It's like a funnel. And I'm like on this edge. Can I get to the side? It's rough. But that's where I'm at today. Respect and honor means the world to me, and I think it means the world to God. So how can I make hallmark daddy moments for my dad? How can I do that? How can I do that? That's the thought today. So let's get some help from who? Somebody tell me his name. Jesus. He was the ultimate Son. He had the ultimate Father. Say that with me. He was the ultimate Son. He had the ultimate Father. So I found this week. I was just studying this week in my office. And this is what I call a country message. And I love this kind of preaching. It helps me. And I got something out of it. I don't know if you do or not, but we're going to get somewhere. We can learn from Jesus because he loved his Father. A couple of verses on this, and then we're going to talk about respect and honor and how to do it. John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father. As the Father gave me commandment, Jesus said, even so I do. Arise, let us go, talking to his disciples. John 15:10, Jesus speaking, if you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my what? Father's commandment, and I abide in his what? Love. Jesus loved his Father. And he respected and he honored his Father. So we got five things we're going to see real quick. Pop it up. All about the life of Jesus. Hang in here with me. If you're slouching, come on. Get up. Let's go. Here we go. He respected and he honored his Father. How do I know that? Well, I got a Bible. I can read it. Amen? And I saw this week. Look at this. It starts out as a boy. Look at it. He respected and honored his Father as a boy in the temple. Pop up the scriptures. Luke 2:42. And when he was 12 years old, Jesus Christ, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, the feast days, and as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother didn't know of it. In those days, they didn't have transportation like we got. They were gone a day's journey or so. They realized he wasn't there. They thought he was in the caravan. They didn't find him. So they had to make their way back. So verse 46 says, it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him where? In the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all they that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, say it with me, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have sought you what? Sorry, how many parents would have just been livid? Say, 3 days you ain't seen your kid. Livid. And then Jesus gives this classic response. He's only how old? He's 12. He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my who? Father's business. So what did he say? Pop it up. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And this is the statement I want to hang the hat on. As a boy in the temple, he said, I must do my Father's business. Could you say that with me? I must do my Father's business. He honored his dad. He honored his dad, his Father God, as a boy. Because he wanted to be about his daddy's business. It won't time yet. All right? He won't grown yet. But he had a desire to, didn't he? Say, he had a desire to be about his father's business. And here's what I think of. I think of me as a boy. My dad was a sweeper and an oiler. And there were many times I would get daddy's oil can and I would mimic him. Listen, I would get that little kid. How many kids, when their dad's profession is a mechanic, what do? You can see there's little rascals out there wanting to help, can't you? Can I get you a tool? They get their little hands dirty. That's the way children are. And it's an honoring thing when a child wants to be like their father. Y'all listening today or no? Jesus was 12 years old, and there was something in him that wanted to be about his daddy's business. And I think that honored his father. I got to thank God the Father. He's seeing all this happen. He's going, man, that's great. Look at this, you know? Not yet. Not yet. It's not time yet. You're going to go back to Nazareth. You're going to grow up. You're going to have to humble yourself. The ministry thing ain't starting yet. But he had it in him, didn't he? Say, dads, I hope you see that when your kids do that. Don't get aggravated with them. They're trying to be like you, man. That's awesome. Beautiful. Let's look at something else. We move the story along as a young adult at his baptism. Let's see, what did he honor his father there? Let's check it out. Matthew 3, 13 through 15. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you. And you come to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, John. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus said, say it with me. What did he say to John? Do it now, John, because why? This is... Did Jesus need to be baptized? John was baptizing who? Sinners unto repentance. Was Jesus a sinner? Yes or no? No. Jesus didn't need the baptism that John was giving. But what did Jesus say? He said, John, do it now, and do it why? Because it's what? Right! And let me tell you something. Young people, listen to me. You can honor your dad by doing right. I mean, there's some strange thing that fathers get out of seeing our sons and daughters by when they do right. Amen? Say. We just get satisfaction out of that, guys. We're not trying to make your life a miserable wreck. We want you to do right because we know right is right, and that's going to be the best for you, and we love you, so do what? Right. And that's what I see Jesus doing. And don't pull the line, I ain't Jesus, I can't do right. Well, that's why we spank, amen? Amen? Because we ain't God either. All right, now listen, I'm serious. So at his, in the temple, he wanted to be like his dad. At his baptism, he said, John, do this. And I wouldn't have baptized if it had been me and Jesus. No, I couldn't have got up off the ground. But John mustered strength to get up and he did it, amen? Because it was right. Wonder how his daddy felt about him. Doing right. Let's check it out. Let's see what the Bible says. Pop it up. Look how thrilled his daddy was. Pop it up. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went straightway up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. Say this with me, that verse. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, say it with me, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well. What? I guess his dad got pretty excited about it, didn't he? Say. I'd say if you open the heavens, that's pretty excited. What was God the Father saying to Jesus? You're my son. You're my son. He also said this to him. I love you, son. He said this. I'm proud of you, son. By the way, parents, let me tell you something. Dads, three things your kids need to hear you say, and you can never say it enough. Kids need to know, Dad, that you love them. And that you, listen, that they belong to you. You're glad that they have your name. You're glad that they're part of the family. You need to let them know you love them. Well, I don't say I love my children. I don't like to talk like that. Well, that's despicable. Are you hearing me say? Get over it. Well, my dad didn't talk to me like that. Well, you ain't your dad for crying out loud. My wife says I argue with somebody on stage you didn't hear. But he just showed up and I got mad at him. Amen. We call him Earl. Boy, you need to say to your son, I'm proud of you, son. Amen. And that's what his daddy did. Let's look. It goes on. It's not going to take forever. The life of Jesus, look at it. He respected and honored his father as a man in his work. He had a 3-year ministry. He worked hard. He packed it all into 3 years on this planet, baby. He was just smoking it up. Man, everywhere he went, he was ministering. And it was hard. And he was hated. John 9, 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night comes when no man can work. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. We're connected, man. He's given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Jesus honored his Father in his work. Verse 36, chapter 5. But I have greater witness than that of John, Jesus speaking, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. John 10, if I do the work, not the works of my Father, then don't believe me, Jesus said. But if I do the works of my Father, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you might know and believe that the Father's in me and I'm in him. What's that got to do with anything? Listen to me. As a boy, wanted to be like him, wanted to do right, And then we see in his works, he wanted to work the works of his Father, the works of the one that sent him. I'm going to tell you, as a father, I am not going to be satisfied as a father until my son can stand on his own 2 feet and make a living. Y'all hearing me say? Well, where'd that come from? That's being a tough daddy. I don't know where it came from. I think I got it from God. Amen? I see too many parents. I counsel many of you. Your children are grown. They're 30. They're 40. They can't make their way. It breaks your heart because something in us wants to know if something happens to us, our kids are going to make it. Are y'all listening today? Say. Let's praise the Lord if I got some parents that believe like that today. All right? Work. Listen, we ain't picking on you when we're trying to teach you to work. We want you to be able to survive. Amen? And boy, let me tell you something. My son, and he ain't arrived yet, but he's getting closer. Amen? He works at Carrabba's. That's a good place to work. But I tell you, he's in school, but he's working there. But I get satisfaction out of him working. I don't get anything out of it. But I get the satisfaction when I call him. I go, you know, you work tonight? Yeah. Well, how'd you do tonight? Well, I made $105 tonight. Wow! Whoa! I get excited about it. And as each month passes and he sticks with it, I just have some feeling of satisfaction. Does that make any sense to fathers in the room? Okay, all right. We're on the same page. Well, I believe Jesus honored his daddy by being a worker. Okay, he didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't complain about it, gripe about it. He just kept moving. Amen? Kept serving, kept doing, kept working, kept it up. And that just honored his dad. And children, listen, young people, when you go to school, when you work, get a job, it just is some way honoring your parents. Are y'all listening? Let's look at the next thing. During his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, he honored his father. Let's look at the scriptures. This is pretty plain English. Pop it up. These words spake Jesus, and he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify you. They were connected. Glorify me that you can get the glory. Because I love you and respect you and honor you. Then comes Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane. Said unto the disciples, now y'all sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, say it with me. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Last part, say that part. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Are you seeing him respecting and honor his Father? Say, I am. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, drops of blood falling to the ground. Wow. What did I get out of the garden? I got that right there. Say it with me. Not my will, but thine be done. Wow. You know what? When I see my children being selfless, caring about what God cares about, caring about others more than themselves, I get great satisfaction out of that. Amen? Jesus was not about himself. He was not about his will. He was about his Father's will. And he honored his Father by doing that. Last one is this. He respected and honored his Father as our sacrifice on the cross. And we're done this morning. Here we go. Matthew 27:42-43. He saved others. Here's Jesus on the cross. We've watched his whole life now. It's a life of honor and respect to his Father. He's on the cross now. And they say this to him. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he's the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe him. And this verse really bothered me. This verse bothered me. It's bothered me before. He's on the cross, and the soldiers and those crucifying him say this to him: he trusted in God. Say that next little part with me. Let him deliver him now. Say that part. If he'll have him. Boy, I'm telling you what, if I had 10,000 angels, that's when they'd have come right there. You try to talk like that? If I'm on that cross, and you're talking like that about the relationship between me and my dad, those certainly are fighting words. And you know what? I believe, dads, we get some of that fire that we have inside of us, that love for our children, where we'll charge hell with a water pistol for them. I believe it comes from God. You know what I'm saying? Now, we got to be under control, though. Be careful. But I just feel it. If he'll have him. For he said what? I am the Son of God. It was a direct attack on who he was, his Father and him. Matthew 27:46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? God turned his back on his Son so he could take our sin and die for you and me. How stupid it is to think you're going to get up some other way other than through Jesus Christ. Are y'all hearing that? Dumbest thing ever. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, say those words with me, it is finished! And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. It is finished. Wow. He started out as 12. I got to do my Father's business. Had a baptism. Do it, John. It's right. He worked hard in the garden. Not my will, but yours be done. On the cross, the last words out of his mouth is this: Dad, Dad, I did it! Amen. It's finished. Well, how do you feel, parents, dads? How do you feel? And not necessarily your son or daughter comes in first place, but how do you feel when they finish? Say, are you there for them? Doesn't that feel good? Say, you finished, man. That's awesome. What an example we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. I wanted to leave you with something today. And I'll tell you what, I hope you got something today. Old Clark got something this week. Amen. I'm glad God's still talking to me. Amen. That's the voice I want to hear. And he spoke to my heart this week. How does Dad respond to that deal? He's finished. Watch this. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth started quaking and the rocks rent in two. And the graves were open and many bodies of the saints which had died arose. I'd say your dad's pretty happy. Amen? Say, whoo! Wow. He honored and respected his Father. Now the centurion, this made more sense to me this week than ever. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, what did the centurion soldier say? The other said, if he'll have him. What did the centurion say? Truly this was who? He could have said a lot of things, couldn't he? But he said, this surely was the Son of God. Jesus honored his Father. He respected his Father. And we close. As a boy, he did what his daddy wanted him to do. You want to honor your father? Hey, won't you start right there? As a boy, he did what his daddy wanted him to do. As a young adult, he wanted to do what was right. There's so many decisions when a young adult, a kid reaches that age, it's hard. Well, I tell you what, my two children, if you want to honor me, then during that phase, do what's right. As a man, he wanted to work the work that he was sent to do. You want to honor your parents? Get a job. Amen? If you get a job, work it hard. That's what Jesus did. In his agony, he wanted to do his Father's will. Say that part with me. Even if it killed him. Don't betray your parents, young people. Love them. Do whatever it takes to have a relationship with them. Don't lose that. On the cross, he wanted to do what? Finish well. I honestly believe if you put that to work, I believe you'll probably do pretty good as a kid. Amen? But here's the deal. If you'll do that as an adult or a young person for your Heavenly Father, I want to do what you want to do. I want to do what's right. I want to work your work. I want your will, not mine. I want to finish well. I believe you'll be a pretty doggone good Christian witness for Jesus. Amen? Last scripture, one of my favorites. What I just said today, it's up to you if you want to do it or not. But here's what the Bible says. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What mind? What I just told you. Amen? Let this mind, which was in Him, be in you, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But Jesus made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. We saw it this morning. Being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God did what? Highly exalted Him, and has given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that what? Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This last part's interesting. To what? To the glory of God the Father. I'm going to say it one more time. And I don't care. This will be on TV. I don't care. If you think that you're going to get up there and somehow profess Mohammed, Buddha, some church denomination, you're whistling Dixie, man. There ain't but one name that's given among men whereby we can be saved, and there's only one name that brings glory to God the Father, and He's in charge. That name's Jesus. Are y'all getting that message today on Father's Day? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the message. That is it. I hope you saw it today in clear form. That's the ticket. If you've not been a Christian, if you're not a Christian, if you've never bowed your knee, if you've never said, Jesus Christ, I believe in you and you alone, then in a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and you can do that. But here's the card. We've closed out every sermon with a Hallmark card. Here's the one for today that we come up with. Isn't that beautiful? Look at it. Say it with me. Dad, I respect you. I honor you. I love you. Your name here. And even if you have a relationship that you don't have a father, or it was a hurtful relationship, I want you to remember this. That you can do this with God. Are y'all listening? Dad, Daddy, I'm a father. I respect you. I honor you. I love you. Live for Jesus Christ. That's the message on Father's Day today. Amen.